Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
With you, Derek Mason as well, Connor Newt. Rounding out the trio, Adam Vingan finishing up a vacation. We'll talk to him again next week. It's great to be with you once again on a Friday. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with the buzz. It's always about great service. I'm coming your way from the Denison Dormitory, Shorney Hall, to be exact. At D-Mace, I'm in a good mood because even though it's raining outside right now, the Denison Big Red have won another game on their quest to get back to the College World Series in Division III baseball. They won their 43rd game in a row.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
So far, so good.
All right. Okay. No rain. Y'all didn't occur any rain. Did it rain
at
any?
The very end. They moved the game. The game was supposed to start at noon Eastern, and they moved it to 9 a.m. Eastern, which made it really tough for me to get there for the first pitch. But I made it. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night trekking up after I did the baseball championship games over in Murfreesboro for the TSSAA. And when I find out the game was at 9 a.m. Eastern time, which is 8 a.m. Central time, I'm thinking that's not going to be an easy trek to get there. But I made it.
Okay.
And the Big Red, another close game, down 3-0 early, still tied 3-3 in the eighth and pulled it out. So they've been walking the tightrope, but they're still winning. They beat Piedmont and Georgia. Remember the gentleman, Derek, that
yes,
called
Yes, did you run
week?
Into him?
I did. He came up and talked to me. His son actually pitched in the game and took the loss. Unfortunately, there was an error that his team made behind him that didn't help. But he pitched in the critical time of the game. That's all you can ask for is to get your shot. He had some really good moments there, but he was really, really nice.
Okay.
He said, "Hey, Willie, I'm John from North Georgia." Remember he called us.
Yes.
And that was his name.
John from North Georgia. So what's going on with the Big Red, man? Why is it that they have sort of like this – they like to start off slow, man.
They do like to start off slow. You know, it's part of the part of it is the competition's better. Now that it's postseason, they're not playing any of the easy teams. And so everybody's geared up. They know that they've got the nation's longest winning streak. In fact, if they win the next game, they will tie the Division III national record of 44 in a row. So that's in the backdrop. They've got to win one of the next two in the Super Regional to advance the World Series.
Okay, so what could the ultimately, could their record be? How many more games do they have? How long will the streak be at the end of the season if indeed they go to the World Series and win, which I predict they will?
Well,
I know
you
you're not going to predict it, Willie. I know you're not.
Coach Willie's going to be careful about how he answers this. But to answer your question, if they won the next game and then they won the World Series without losing a game, which would be really hard, the best in the country. But going undefeated, that would mean five more. So they could win six more.
Okay. So would
they
that
could, they could lose one in there.
Oh, okay.
Right? Or maybe even lose two in there and still win the World Series.
Okay.
And they could even lose a game presumably tomorrow. Right. So in theory they could lose three more and still find
advance.
A way to win the championship.
Yes. Okay. All right. What is
if you were going to say win out, there would be six more wins to get.
Okay, what is – do you know the Division II longest winning streak in baseball?
Well, Division II, I think, is a little bit longer.
Okay.
We looked it up today. I got to look it up again. There's an NAIA team from Louisiana years ago that I think won like 58 or 60-something straight games. The Division One record is only 34, so they've already passed that. So Division Two, I think, would be next rung up the ladder. I think that's higher than 44. But the Division Three record is 44. That's the next thing to hit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say it. We got to get to 44, man. Let's go.
Willie's very nervous about these things.
Hey, let's go. They got to get to the World Series. That's the ultimate goal. But
they played at 9 a.m. so that they could get the game in before the rain started. It started raining in the last inning, and it really has not stopped since then. So I don't know when they're going to be able to play again. It's a turf field here in Ohio. Because
the game supposedly run through the weekend, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Sunday should be okay, but tomorrow is very iffy. Maybe late tomorrow they could play, but the forecast is not looking good.
Okay.
So we'll see.
All right. Well. Let's go, Big Red.
Well, got it done.
That's all that matters.
Meanwhile, Derek, tell us how the show went yesterday. I know yesterday, for the first time, the media got a chance to see what the Titans were up to with OTAs. And I know there were some good themes that came out of it. It sounds like Cam Ward looks good, throwing very well as well.
Yes. You know, the whole scuttlebutt was, you know, Cam losing 10 pounds and looking thinner. And then also, obviously, Carnell Tate. And some have crowned him the one already. But I get it. People are excited about, you know, the potential of, you know, Carnell Tate and Cam Ward, that connection and those two growing together. But let's just taper the expectation for now, the young man to be okay. But, just how Cam looked, how the receivers looked that were there. You know, there was a little bit about, you know, how the defensive line, how they look different, how everything seems to be a fast pace. And then, obviously, the biggest thing, I don't know if you saw this, the whole seed oil thing. When Sala said he has taken seed oil out of, the nutritionist advised that they do it, and they did it. And Connor pulled it up yesterday, and seed oil is in basically fried foods. There are some other things like ice cream, but you can get around that because you can use almond milk. So you can eat almond milk ice cream. But a lot of it was fried foods and some protein bars here and there. But, you know, what I said was, to me, it's like he's a stickler about everything. Because when questions are asked, and the first thing he talks about is the nutrition and them removing a certain item or items from the menu, that means he's about detail. He's about the little things. We may not look at it as, or the average person may not look at it as, oh, seed oil, what does it really matter in the big scheme of things? Well, he believes that it's in the margins. Like everything that they do on the field and off the field throughout that building, obviously outside of the building, everything is in between the margins. So when you bring up seed oil, I know a lot of people start scratching their head like, okay, this is the thing that he brings up. But I can understand why, because he's trying to be as detailed and meticulous as possible. We got to understand this organization has been in a spiral for the last couple of years, and he's trying to change things up along with Dable and everyone. Yeah. Willie. Connor, I think we lost Willie.
I will do some research on that.
Yeah, so we lost. But yeah, so that's what we were discussing yesterday, and we got some calls on that and a lot of texts as far as, you know, the things that Sala is doing within that building. And obviously, you know, we got some calls on Cam Ward losing 10 pounds. And how does he look? Is he showing any ill effect from the shoulder surgery that he had? And he doesn't. He looks good. We talked a little bit about Will Levis yesterday, how he looked yesterday. TD came on with us. He was so gracious to us that he came over after practice and sat with us in the 5 o'clock hour right after we had Elliot. And he, you know, he just explained some things in regards to Will Levis and how he looked and some other guys around, you know, that were on the field yesterday. So a lot of the Titans talk was about that. Do we still not have Willie?
He's talking. He's muted, but he's talking.
this is live TV right
okay.
here. There we go. There we go. There we go, Willie.
I started. I hit something, and I mm-hmm. muted myself, and then I started hitting a lot of buttons, and you know that makes it worse and not better. But I'm back to square one. But I heard what you're saying, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. I want to make this about me.
Yes.
Because the seed oil, it's got me really concerned. Like I want to eliminate seed oil from my diet. Like, what do I need to be eating? You said something about protein bars have seed oil in them?
Yeah, isn't that what, because Connor looked this up yesterday.
It was like protein bars. Yeah, protein bars, peanut butter, crackers. A lot of random things that you eat in your everyday life contain seed oil.
Well, okay, what do I need to do? I thought the protein bars were a good source of
Willie.
Protein.
No, Willie, because that seed oil, it holds inflammation. So if you don't want inflammation in your body, you may want to eliminate seed oil from your diet. At least that
okay,
will
do I need to check
help
the power
a little
bars
bit.
Or the protein bars and see what it's got in there? Does
yeah,
because
I don't think all protein bars have seed oil in it. So you need to check the back of it, Willie.
Okay, it's on there?
I'm pretty sure it is. It has to be, doesn't it? By law?
Yeah.
If it's in there, you got to. Yeah.
Well, the NFL inked a deal either yesterday or today with a new peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it doesn't contain seed oil. And I think all 32 teams across the league are eating it. So,
okay. I need to learn more about this because I want to be on the cutting edge. You know that, D-Mace.
Absolutely.
Cutting edge is important.
Absolutely, man. If you can, you know, relieve yourself of some of that inflammation, then why not?
Yeah. Well, we are in all seriousness going to talk about Cam Ward a lot during the 5 o'clock hour today because we're going to talk about how maybe him being a little quicker, a little leaner, what that could mean on the field. And so there's a lot to break down with that. You know, another thing, Bill Barnwell wrote a pretty interesting column. It was a lot about bang for your buck on ESPN.com. You know, he basically wrote what is he like, what is he not like about the off-season additions who we're getting to see for the first time this week. But, you know, what he basically said offensively is that they overspent. He used Dan Moore last year as an example, and there are other examples this year that he felt that they spent a little bit more money than they needed to on players that aren't going to move the needle a whole lot. Tell me what you think about that overall analysis, because I've got my own opinion on it.
I mean, listen, you have to, I think, when you're in certain situations, and I think you see it across the board in sports, where you've been a dismal franchise for some years, and you may have to overpay for particular players that others may deem as, you know, quote unquote, reaching for or, you know, overvaluing. When you are a team that is trying to build something, sometimes you got to pay a little bit more to get a player that you feel can help your roster. It may not help somebody else's roster, or they may not look at that person and say, well, he can fit in our roster in this particular way. But the Titans and teams like the Titans, at times they are taking guys that you may not think that, you know, they're big names, but they're brought in here to do a job. And once they get into the season and you start seeing those players, then you start to figure out, okay, I see the method to the madness, so to speak. Why did they go out and get the guy? Well, this is why they went out and get the guy and got the guy. Maybe you didn't think he was worth it, but now you're seeing if we didn't have him, how much we would have needed a guy like him.
What Barnwell basically says in the article, and I won't go through all of the details, but we're going to touch on a couple of the players that he mentions. But his theme is that the Titans, we know that they had money to spend. They had probably more money than anybody. And as you said, they've been a poor team. So they overspent to try to make some upgrades of positions. Now, Barnwell's position is they could have spent a lot less money, and it really wouldn't move. It wouldn't be that big of a difference in terms of the talent. But I would say, you used the phrase, Cam's trying to improve on the margins. Well, I think that's a way to do it.
Exactly.
In the NFL is maybe we admit, well, we already have admitted that, and we knew on the front end that Dan Moore was overpaid. Mm-hmm. That might very well be the case with Wandale Robinson. But Wandale Robinson is still better than what Bill Barnwell calls a replacement level player. What he means by that, and you hear this term in all the sports, what's the baseline? What is the basic average player that you can get? Mm-hmm. And that would be a call-up from the minor leagues in baseball, a good AAA player. What's he going to give you on the major league level? A fringe practice squad, you know, fringe roster player in the NFL. What is the value of that player? And then you have a evaluation system of how much better is your guy than the average replacement level, or how much below replacement level is the guy you're playing. And if you're below replacement level, then that's a problem, especially if that person's making a lot of money. I feel pretty confident, D-Mace, that Wandale Robinson.
Oh, absolutely. He's
above. Not going to light it up, but he's above replacement level, and hopefully he's going to help.
Exactly, because you're talking about him replacing Lockett and then him replacing, you know, DK or any other guy that they had to put in there last year. Now we're just talking about slot. And I think DK is going to be a fabulous player. But you're talking about now inserting Wandale Robinson. That is a tremendous upgrade. It really is. So you got above average player in this situation. And that's what I talk about. That's what I was talking about prior. You may not think that guy is worth that. But in this offense, how we run it and what we – you know, what we look at and characterize, he's good for ours. He may not be good for yours, but he's good for ours. So we value him a little bit more than what you would have. So it can be kind of, it's all an opinion when it comes to stuff like this, especially when you're talking about Wandale Robinson and who did he replace? Because he replaced guys that were not producing or producing at a level that Wandale Robinson produced the prior season.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, they were getting below replacement level from a lot of those guys. So if he's above replacement level, that's a pretty sizable improvement. And at the end of the day, you don't evaluate whether your team has overpaid guys or not. If you got a few overpaid guys, but your team's winning more games, it's worth it. Even though maybe that individual, you could say he's overpaid. If he's helping you win, then it's all good. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Chad Withrow. We'll get our weekly visit from him, from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. We'll hit an array of topics, including these OTA themes from the Titans and a couple other things we're going to throw at him, especially University of Tennessee baseball. First year after Tony Vitello. Let's check in on Tony Vitello and the Vols baseball program. We'll get Chad's take on that. We got a great show for you. Mitch Light's going to join us a little bit later in the show. Did you see Jared Curtis and Nate Bargatze were on the Pat McAfee show in their studio today. Hmm. Nate Bargatze's on a media tour for his movie. We talked to Chad a little bit about that last week. So a lot going on the show. We're going to talk a lot of Cam Ward. We're just getting started here on DVD. You're listening to 102.5 The Game. We're back here on DVD, 102.5 The Game. Remember, the 615 Golf Tournament might be sold out, but you can bid on all kinds of awesome experiences to directly support Folds of Honor at 615open.com/auction. Have an unforgettable time while supporting a great cause. We're back here on the show. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. Connor Newt behind the glass, and we are joined by Chad Withrow. He is, of course, not with us right now, so he'll be on here in just a moment. Connor just sent me the text, so we'll get hooked up with Chad, hopefully, from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Is Chad skipping out on us, Derek? Does he not want to talk about the Vols? What's going on?
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe not. He may think that they got some problems down there. He don't want to talk about those problems. You never know, man.
Everybody's got problems. Come on,
everybody around sports have problems. Like, yes, absolutely. So, but no, I mean, you know, whether it's the Vols, you know, the Titans, he's always one to, you know, give a direct answer, meaning Chad. So that's why we love having him on. because he has great perspective on things
when
that we
do, we'll get him on the game text or hotline driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You know, one of the things I wanted to bounce off of Chad, and I'll throw it at you, Derek. Oh, we got Chad? All right, let's bring him on. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike and Hutton Withrow is with us. Chad, what's going on?
Willie, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I am up. I'm in a college dorm. Chad, I don't know if you can top this, but have you ever done a show from a college dorm? Your kids are not college age yet, but maybe that day will come.
I have not done a show from a college dorm, and when I lived in a college dorm, I was not fit to do a show. So that's perfect. It's getting a chance to really live the dream.
No,
great job, buddy. How is Dennison doing?
This dorm in particular here, and I can picture it. I can picture Chad stumbling in.
Yeah, there would be, you know, let's put it this way. I would have been internet ready before internet was really a thing in terms of shows. It certainly wasn't broadcast ready, whatever I was doing in college.
Okay. We'll leave it there for now, but I can picture me stumbling in behind you and then D-Mace not far behind me.
So. Yes, absolutely. But, hey, it would have been a heck of a time. Probably would have
exactly.
been a great show.
It would have been probably very late at night, too. In some case.
It would have been epic, as the kids say. Do they even say that still?
No doubt about it.
Lit, as they say. Yes.
There we go.
The fives would be great. Fives would be high, as the kids say.
Sorry, you got to keep up with these terms. My kids remind me all the time. A couple of issues from OTAs. I'll let Derek hit on some of them. So let's start with Tennessee. I sort of set the table for this before you came on, Chad. I know you guys had a great talk. You and Hutt had a great talk with Tony Vitello out in San Francisco as they were about to begin the season. It hasn't gone well for the Giants. I really think they're scrutinizing him because it's such a unique situation. Buster Posey, the GM who hired him, is also coming under a lot of criticism because they're just not that good of a team. I'm not sure any manager would be doing a whole lot better. But as you look, here we are basically a season later. Tennessee is going to go back to the NCAA tournament. So they had a solid season, but it's not maybe quite as dominant as it has been under Vitello. So a year later, what do you think?
Well, I think that, I mean, I probably speak for a lot of Tennessee fans when I say that if things continue to go south with the Giants, I'd be fine with Tony Vitello coming right back to Tennessee and being the head coach. And that's, you know, that's not fair to Josh Elander because he's done an okay job in year one. It was never going to be easy. There was going to be a bit of a talent drop-off also this year with that Tennessee team, and they got better as the year went on, and they were playing some of their best baseball at the end of the year. But Willie, you know, in talking with Tony Vitello, he was very upfront about that, you know, that he knows what he doesn't know, and that he's relying on people with a lot of Major League Baseball experience to help him along the way. And I think that he is so honest, almost to a fault, that it's going to get him in trouble with what's being said and written about him simply because he's going to say exactly how it is. And if he's too honest at times, I don't think fans are going to love that. You know, when you're talking about things going on in the clubhouse like he has and being honest about it, people say, oh, well, that's sacrosanct in Major League Baseball. You don't talk about stuff in the clubhouse. And here's this rookie that doesn't understand that you don't do that. But that's just Tony. That's always been him. He's always going to say it exactly how he feels it in the moment, and he's going to let it rip. So I don't know that that works great over the course of a 162-game season. I will tell you this. I ran into Will Clark, of all people, at the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame induction recently. And I went up and talked to him and asked him what he thought about Tony Vitello. And Will Clark said, look, Tony's got to find a way to get guys to play harder. And he said, I don't know that that's a manager's job when you get to Major League Baseball, but said that they got some guys on that team that simply don't play hard enough. And I know Will Clark has his own podcast and has said the same thing, but, you know, he was big on, look, the manager puts nine guys on a lineup card, and it's up to those nine guys to go out and do something. And right now, those guys aren't doing anything for him. So I think there's a couple different ways to look at it, but I think after, you know, one Tennessee baseball season in, Josh Elander did an okay job, but you poll Tennessee fans, and if it continues to go this badly for Tony Vitello, they'd love to take him right back.
I'm really curious if that actually becomes something that, you know, builds momentum because we're very early in this whole situation. But, Chad, one other thing that I think is – I don't know if it surprised me. I was trying to see how he would make those adjustments. I think game in and game out, the Giants games I've watched, I don't notice too many crazy things. He's not managing the same way on the field as he did at Tennessee. In other words, he's not right in the umpire's ear, you know, a step outside the dugout, ready to pounce at any time. His teams aren't doing anything crazy. And he kind of knew that had to be the case. Where I think he's really adjusting, you touched on it, is the way he handles the media. It's an everyday thing. It's a much bigger audience, and they're not winning. So everything he's saying is being thrown through the ringer. And you see these clips about why did Tony Vitello say that? He's certainly giving the media plenty of fodder to talk about there, but it's so much different than it was in Knoxville, where there's less people. Not as many people are going to question him, especially when they were winning as many games as they were.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Willie. That's the biggest adjustment for him. And I don't know that he changes that. You know, I don't know that that's something that he sees a need to change based on outside criticism. It's who he is. It's what got him to this point, is being kind of a charismatic guy who you don't quite know what he's going to say or going to do. I do think he's been a bit tamed down in terms of his whole on-field demeanor as a manager.
Yes.
As opposed to in Tennessee. And he said this with us, you know, we talked about, hey, are you going to have some sort of prop, and are you going to have home run stuff, and are your guys going to get in fights and flip people the bird when they're rounding second base and doing all that? And he said, my guys are going to be my guys. And he said, they're going to be themselves. That's what they did at Tennessee. He said, I tended to attract certain types of guys, and I would let them be the individuals that they are, is what he told us. And that's going to be the same with the San Francisco Giants. So if he's got guys like that, that they perform better playing on edge like that, then he's going to let them do that. But if not, he's not going to get in their way. I think he brought up Logan Webb as an example of, you know, this guy's got so many years of Major League Baseball starter. He knows his routine each week to get ready. He said, my job is to help him get ready in whatever way he needs. I'm not going to coach him because he knows exactly what he needs to do. He's got a wife and kids and a mortgage, and he's a grown man. But for others, he's going to have to coach more of them. So I think that's kind of the balance, Willie, of learning each player and what they need.
We'll talk with Chad. We'll talk with Chad Withrow, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Excuse me, Chad. I'm a little choked up here. But the Titans had their mini
camp. Too much
camp
fun in the dorms, Derek.
Yes,
you're going back to your college.
That was those darn Doritos that I was eating, and they were hot too. So I'm sitting here, my mouth burning. But that's something you shouldn't do as you talk on the radio. Eat Doritos and hot. may I add too? But no, Chad. They had their first mini camp OTA yesterday. Obviously, the big thing was Cam Ward and his 10 pounds. How do you think that affects him moving forward? I'm looking at it from the standpoint of affecting him in a good way. But how do you think that helps him as a quarterback moving into the season?
Oh, I mean, look, I think anything that you would, whether it's true or not, anything that could possibly help you withstand the beating that Cam Ward took, you know, a year ago, behind that offensive line, or that can get you through the season, I think could be seen as a positive. I also know that there's been a lot made about body changes for OTAs. And then by the time, and that's good and bad, right? Guys who get ripped, or guys who get lean, or guys who put on 15 pounds of muscle. And then by the time you get to the season, a lot of times it's very different with what they are. The big talk in Knoxville right now with George McIntyre is that he finally weighs over 200 pounds and he's 6'6". He's 203 pounds. So that's a real growth for him. Well, when he comes back to school for workouts, is he still going to be over 200 pounds? Is he going to be more than that? So, I mean, I don't get too involved in the weight of guys right now or what that looks like, but I do think that it could be a positive development if it's something that can help him withstand the beating that he's likely to take.
Now, I think one of the other big question marks for the Titans, and really the main one, is the offensive line. And how are they going to replace, or who are they going to put in at center and right guard, in particular right guard? Obviously, Slater is there, and he's the guy that is working in now. How important is it going to be, knowing that they don't have as many days to get this offensive line going? Now you see Cam Ward drop some weight. That may expose him to a couple of more hits. And how does he take it? But how important is it going to be for the offensive line, and who replaces Zeitler at that right guard position?
No, I mean, I think, you know, just finding the right five is very important for the Titans right now. And I think just having that, you know, identity, more than anything else is going to be big for that group. Whoever the player is, that's going to be the replacement. I think it's key to have a certain swagger is not the right word, but physicality and a way of playing that you would associate with the best Titans teams of the past. Mm-hmm. And I think they've lost that the last few years, and they haven't won a lot of games in large part because of that. But I do think it's getting back to that is what is most important for the Titans right now.
Now, Saleh brought up in his presser yesterday Femi and what he wants to see from Femi and how Femi needs to be more violent. Now, we talked about this yesterday on the show, how I took that and how, you know, other people may take that. How do you think he's going to be one of the guys? Because he has all the measurables, and Saleh even talked about it. I mean, 6'3", 250, 260, somewhere around there, a long wingspan. The guy can be physical. So how do you think he's going to be one of the guys that benefits the most from the aggressive style of play that Saleh wants?
No, I really do. And I think that's why, you know, you look at Falk, the draft pick, trading up to get him. I think if you're going to be optimistic about that pick, it's because Robert Saleh sees something that he's seen in players he's coached with the 49ers, mm-hmm. let's say, where he's had the most success as defensive coordinator. And I think Femi is a guy that he could be one of those types of players that are dynamic and can really make plays, much like Saleh had with the 49ers. And again, guys, I think it all comes back to identity. You know, that's what the Titans have been lacking. And I think when you look at Saleh's defense, they usually have an identity. Now, as a head coach, it wasn't successful with the Jets, but that could change here. And I think Brian Daboll also, he's a guy that his offenses tend to have identity and know what they're doing. So I think that's a big sign of optimism for this Titans team, is that they both know what they're looking for. They know what they want. We know what that defense and offense looks like. And now let's go and play it and get some of those young guys going where they can be difference makers.
We're talking to Chad Withrow, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. Chad, I'm glad you referenced George McIntyre, because I was noticing earlier today, just after the Denison game was over, we went to have lunch, and I look at the TV in the restaurant, and there's Nate Bargatze and Jared Curtis in the studio with Pat McAfee. That is pretty crazy. But we had a little discussion earlier. We're going to get more into it in some coming shows here. But there's it looks like at some point, whether it's right at the start of the season or somewhere early in the season, both Vanderbilt and Tennessee are going to have very young quarterbacks going, freshmen in some form. Tell us what's going on over in Knoxville right now with George McIntyre. Do you think he's going to take it? I hear a lot about Faison Brandon as well, who's a true freshman. So how is that going to unfold?
I think, Willie, it's a million-dollar question, and I mean literally millions of dollars on the line here is the question. I mean, Tennessee's going to be paying a quarterback $3 to $4 million that's not playing this year with the two guys they have on campus. That's how much it took to get five-star George McIntyre from Brentwood Academy, and that's probably how much it took to get Faison Brandon, who is a borderline five-star out of North Carolina. So it's an expensive decision for Tennessee, and a guy who's probably going to bolt to go start somewhere else, whoever doesn't get that start. I think both Tennessee and Vandy are in an interesting spot and also a predicament, because this is not the way of college football right now to go with the young guy. My guy, Trey Wallace, I know he said recently that he thinks Faison Brandon's going to be the guy, that he's got the better skill set. He's a little bit more Hendon Hooker for Josh Heupel's offense, which obviously was very successful for Tennessee. I don't know who's going to end up being the starter, Willie, but I think just the fact that in both Knoxville and Nashville, you're going to have either a true freshman, or in Knoxville, you might have a sophomore as a starter, a redshirt freshman. I think it's crazy when you look across the SEC and see all those veteran guys. It's a gamble for both, right? I mean, I think for Vandy, it's more understandable that you went and got the number one quarterback in the country. You're going to have him for 3 years, and he's going in knowing he's going to be the starter. So it's really a long-term play. I think for Tennessee, yeah, it could be a long-term play if it's Faison Brandon as a starter, but I also just don't know that that's what's best for success right now. And I will say, I was at Nate Bargatze's movie premiere, The Breadwinner, and Jared Curtis appears in the first 30 seconds of the movie in a Vanderbilt hat. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, to see your quarterback, I don't know that most of America is going to know who he is, because he's just being shown a minivan in a car lot by car salesman Nate Bargatze. But that's pretty awesome that the starting quarterback of Vanderbilt has an NIL deal that includes him being in a Hollywood movie that's starring the biggest Vanderbilt fan on the planet in Nate Bargatze, or at least the most famous. So cool things all around, but I don't know that it's best for what's going to win in 2026.
Yeah, it's good. That will be a story for sure. I can only hope. I think Vanderbilt fans can only hope that, you know, they recycle all these movies on all these movie channels that pop up. You have to hope that in like 10 or 12 years, if that Nate Bargatze movie pops on and you see the beginning, that it's automatic. People say, oh, there's Jared Curtis. If you don't recognize who that is, it didn't go very well for Jared Curtis as a college quarterback.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, if Jared Curtis becomes Aaron Rodgers, everyone's going to say, oh, look at young Jared Curtis, NFL All-Pro, future Hall of Famer, there in a Vanderbilt hat before he even got to school or as he was leaving high school. And I will say, you know, when they show things on TV, it says this has been edited down to format the television length, the runtime, whatever. It's going to be tough to cut that out, Willie, because it's right in the beginning of the movie. I mean, it is during the opening credits. You're going to get a chance to see Jared Curtis. So I don't think he's going to be cut from any television copy of that movie.
So he's in there for better or worse forever. So,
he's in there. He's right in the beginning.
Chad, we'll keep an eye on this theme. Thanks a lot for joining us here on this Friday afternoon. Have a good weekend.
Yep, guys, you have a good one too.
All right, that's Chad Withrow, Hot Mike from Hutton & Withrow, joining us as he does every week here on DVD. When we come back, we will bring that back up for discussion for a moment because I think that's an interesting story. Freshman quarterbacks, possibly, probably, for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee. There's probably no way around it. It's a matter of which one for Tennessee, and it's a matter of how quick Jared Curtis takes the job for Vanderbilt. So we'll come back to that and get D. Mace's take on it. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Okay, we're back here on DVD, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason. We have not been doing what Tyler Childers just said he was doing in the song, fortunately. But we move on. D-Mace, let's hit on something. I don't know if you actually, you guys, I know the studio oftentimes has the Pat McAfee show on. Back when we did our midday show, we used to have it on in the background every day. We could never hear what they were saying, but we could see who was on the show. But today, I look up there, and here's Nate Bargatze and Jared Curtis in the studio with Pat McAfee. So I had a couple of thoughts on that. You tell me what you think.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Willie.
Just tell me what you think on this. Is it good that he was there? I see the angle of, look, you can't. There's no such thing as bad publicity. This is huge free publicity for the Vanderbilt program. There was a day where Vanderbilt couldn't have paid $100,000 to have their quarterback on a Pat McAfee show, a show with that kind of exposure. Mm-hmm. But Nate Bargatze and his engine is giving all kinds of attention to a program that would starve for attention. Of course, they're winning some games. On the other hand, you've got a true freshman quarterback with huge expectations, and this isn't going to lower the expectations at all. So what do you give me your thoughts on that move?
Well, it's not unless, you know, listen, majority of the people are not going to realize who he is. They're just going to see a young kid with a Vanderbilt hat. Now, those that either are Vanderbilt alum, fans, affiliated with Vandy in any kind of way that really, you know, immerse themselves in this, they're going to know who Jared Curtis is. And they're going to spot him out right away. Everybody in Nashville, they're going to know him when they see the movie. I don't know how, you know, how I feel about this. Because on one hand, I think it's an opportunity for a young man to, and any young man or woman that is coming into college and, you know, they're an athlete and they're getting some type of NIL deal. This is an opportunity that you probably would have never gotten. And, you know, to be on a movie, a major film in theaters, and the first person everybody sees is you. How many kids going into college get that opportunity? And I think you're going to see more and more of things like this. Not necessarily, you know, guys or girls being in movies, even though I think that will potentially happen here or there. But I think you're going to start to see some of these athletes in sort of realms that they didn't think that they would be in, or we've never seen a college athlete be in, whether it be an endorsement, you know, doing things in other countries. I think you're going to see a lot of it, because that's another avenue or another way to pay student athlete or athletic student, as I call them, to get them to come to your university. It's going to have to be more than just a cash transaction. There's going to have to be other things, especially when you're talking about, you know, the number one player in the country or a top 10 player in the country, and every university is pulling at you. Well, what is going to separate you? What's going to separate Vanderbilt from Georgia? Well, this is what separated Vanderbilt from Georgia. You know, one, the kid is right in the backyard. And then two, possibly, hey, he was in a movie. That could have been part of the lure for him. Oh, man, I get to be on the big screen. Take my whole family. We can make an event of this. So you're going to have to start doing more. That's why I said I don't know how I quite feel about it, in a sense, because I know more is coming.
I think that's a great take on the movie. The movie itself, I think, is unique in that, number one, it's a fun thing that no matter mm-hmm. how his football career goes, someday Jared Curtis can say, you know what, I was in the movies, you know, when I was 18 or 19 years old, whatever he is. And that'll be a great story to tell. Also, I would say a high percentage of the people going to watch that movie, they're there to see if Nate Bargatze, they're to see Nate Bargatze, a funny movie. Mm-hmm. They're not really focused in. They may not even notice, a lot of the people, who that is, especially because Jared Curtis hasn't played a college football game yet. So unless you're from Nashville, you don't even know who he is. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just as curious about him going on the McAfee show, because that is a sports show. That's a sports audience. And Nate Bargatze's there to pump up the movie. But I'm sure there's a lot of intrigue from Pat McAfee on Jared Curtis and the story behind it. So let me bring Connor into the discussion. So, Connor, let's say you're Clark Lee, and Nate Bargatze calls you up and says, you know, I'm going on McAfee. Can I bring Jared Curtis with me? They'd like to have him on the show. How do you feel about that? Because it's great exposure for the program. But on the other hand, though, here's a really young kid who is still, I'm sure, learning how to deal with the media in general, and now he's in this huge huge bubble where there's a lot of attention paid, and he hasn't taken a snap yet.
I think there's give and take there, Willie. I think the reason I'm saying that is because I'm thinking of Arch Manning. And obviously,
yes,
there's a difference between having the last name Manning and being Jared Curtis, but Jared Curtis is still the number one quarterback in his class. So the reason I bring up Arch Manning is because everyone was ready to crown him as the savior of college football. He was listed number one in mock drafts before he even took his first snap at Texas as the true starter. So there's give and take there. Yes, I think it's great exposure for Vanderbilt, especially the university, the football program, for Clark Lee, for Jared Curtis, because now people know who and what he does on a national level. But at the same time, people are going in looking at this quarterback and saying, we have expectations for him if he's really as good as the media is telling us to. So if he comes in and doesn't deliver, and I'm not saying that's going to be the case, but hypothetically, if he comes in and doesn't deliver to the level that the media and these people watching are expecting him to, he and Vanderbilt are going to be, you know, kind of slandered in the media, and there's going to be a disappointing outlook. So
it'll be something they'll have to deal with. Like they've said publicly mm-hmm. that they want him to win the job, and they've said that he may not start the very first game. But if that's the case, if he's simply not ready, and he's a true freshman, then people are going to say, well, he was on the McAfee show. What's going on? They're hyping him up. He's not worth the hype. All that. So D-Mace, that part of it. How do you feel about that?
Again, would I want my freshman, period, not even quarterback, just freshman, period? If you are considered, you know, an elite player, do I want that much exposure put on him right away? He's already got it because obviously he's the number one quarterback in his recruiting class and the top player. So that's going to bring on a level of notoriety and everything else and pressure. But then once you throw him on the Pat McAfee show, I think that does add another level of pressure for a guy that hasn't taken a snap yet, because and I'm not saying that this will not be the last time that a freshman is on one of these networks, because it's either they're going to be on Pat McAfee, ESPN, or they're going to be on somebody's stream that has a lot of viewers. So the ESPN is like, well, we might as well have him, because eventually he's going to be on somebody else's. So we might as well have him. And that also gives the school exposure. I wonder how Coach Lee felt about it. I'm sure he, you know, was you know, happy for the young man that he gets an opportunity, one, to be in a movie, but then two, be there with Nate Bargatze and helping endorse the movie. But as a head coach, you want to try to keep him under the radar as long as you can. Not to say that nobody knows about him, but you don't want to put added pressure on this kid to go out there and be ready for game one.
And you don't want something to happen to a kid who's 18 or 19 who hasn't had much experience in mm-hmm. the media, having something happen where you say something you didn't mean.
Exactly.
And that creates attention you really would rather not have. I'll give you a backdrop of that. When I played basketball at Vanderbilt, my head mm-hmm. coach was Eddie Fogler, who was a point guard and then a longtime assistant coach for Dean Smith at North Carolina. And Coach Smith, as Coach Fogler always called him, he never called him Dean Smith. He called him Coach Smith. One of Dean Smith's rules for every team he had was freshmen do not ever talk to the media until mm-hmm. after the first game. He wanted absolutely zero contact between the media and his freshmen until after they had played a game. So that went for Michael Jordan, James Worthy, to the last guy on the bench, right? So, but that was the reason. He was trying to protect them mm-hmm. and get them acclimated to the college game before they had to get acclimated to talking to the media. So times have changed, for sure. But that is an approach that some coaches have taken. So I'm curious if Clark Lee had input on the whole McAfee thing. We'll take this over to the other side. I know we got a couple of callers here. 615-737-1025. Call or text your thoughts to our text hotline driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mitch Light's going to come up later in the show, but we're going to also hit on the Tennessee part of this. Freshman quarterbacks in the SEC in today's game, it's not easy to win. So what are we going to expect? Who's in better shape with a freshman quarterback? Vanderbilt or Tennessee coming up? That will be a theme all fall long. And so we'll set the table for it when we come back. 615-737-1025. You're listening to DVD. Hour number two is coming up.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.